Some of you know that we've been taking a break from our series on kingdom finances to reflect together a bit on responding to God in the in-between time, between the time of promise and the time of fulfillment. Now, last week we talked about learning to see ourselves the way that God sees us, and we did that from the life of Gideon. Today we're going to be all over the Bible to look at becoming spiritual mothers and fathers. Becoming spiritual mothers and fathers is one of the ways that we can respond to God before all the promises are fulfilled. We are going to look at a bunch of different scripture passages. So if you can grab a Bible, please do so. And you might want to have something with which to take notes. You should have received a handout this morning as you were coming in the door, or it should be uploaded to the chat if you're online. So we're going to talk some about spiritual parenthood, if you will, and what it looks like for us to begin to move toward that. So let's pray, and then we'll jump into that. Father, thank you that you have made us, and that we are here at this place and time to hear this word, a word of encouragement, a word of exhortation, challenge. Shake us from our lethargy, Lord. Help us to mature into the people that you mean for us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm assuming that the great majority of those of you who are either in the building or participating online this morning already know that you can be saved by Jesus in a moment. That Jesus died for our sins so that we could be forgiven and reconciled to God. He rose from the dead so that we can live a supernatural quality of life. It's what it means to be a Christian. And that can happen in an instant. What doesn't happen in an instant is the rest of our spiritual development. So just like you might have been conceived in an instant or birthed in an instant, the process of your growing up takes time. You go through many stages of physical and psychological development to grow into a full-grown adult. And it's not that you're more valuable if you're an adult. Part of the reason we're participating in the fundraiser for the Crisis Pregnancy Centers is that we believe that a baby in the womb bears the image of God and is infinitely valuable. A baby, when it's just born, can't do anything for itself, can't dress itself, can't feed itself, can't clean itself, can't even say what it needs. But it is as valuable, he or she is as valuable as any other person on earth. And we all have infinite worth based on the fact that we are made in the image of God. So it's not a question of worth. But we also know that we need to go through the stages of development. If a two-year-old can't dress themselves, can't feed themselves, can't tell you what they need, etc., we don't worry about it too much, but we start to think that when you're 2 years old, you should be able to do some of those things. When you're 6 years old, we expect that you can do a number of them. And if a person can't do those things, it's not that they're less valuable. And there are people who can't. But we grieve that a bit. We know that something has gone amiss. When a person is 26 and they can't dress themselves or feed themselves or say what they need and this kind of thing, it's clear that something has not gone well. So those people are still valuable, but it's important that we make our way through the stages of development, isn't it? So that we can grow into the people that God means for us to be. Well, the same thing is true spiritually. And that's the first point from this morning. We all go through stages of spiritual development. That is normal. That is not a problem. In 1 John 2, verse 13, John says, I am writing to you fathers, he's talking about spiritual fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I'm writing to you young men because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you children because you know the Father. Now, I don't have time to break down all of what he means in that verse, but the thing I want you to see is that he sees people at different stages in their spiritual life. And he knows that they have different responsibilities, different capabilities of things that they can do, and he wants to make sure that they're doing the kinds of things they need to be doing. In 1 Peter 2, verse 2, Peter says, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word of God, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. So even though you can be saved in a moment, forgiven and reconciled to God, like in a moment, we are supposed to grow in respect to our salvation. We start as infants and we go from there. And there's nothing wrong with being an infant when you're an infant, right? And Peter doesn't seem to have any kind of problem with somebody being a spiritual baby. That's where everybody starts. But here's the second point. The problem is when we don't mature. And church, I'm not trying to be mean about this or harsh, but in the contemporary church, so I'm not just talking about Redemption Church, I'm talking about the church way more broadly. There are a bunch of spiritual babies who seem to feel like they can just be babies their whole life and expect someone to dress and feed and care for them for forever. That is a problem. It's not a problem just for somebody like me who professionally I take on responsibility for some of these things, but it's a problem for you. It means that you get stuck at a stage of development that you're not supposed to be stuck at, right? You're not supposed to be a baby your whole life. Like I said, a baby can't control its bowels. You know, it goes to the bathroom because it needs to, and that's it. It has no control. We expect that eventually a person's going to be able to gain that control unless there's a problem. We see this in Scripture spiritually. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 3. Paul says, I could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but only as fleshly, as to infants in Christ. So notice there that part of what Paul is implying is that people who don't know Jesus and people who just are brand new in their faith of knowing Jesus, there are actually a lot of similarities. Kind of hard to tell them apart. He goes on, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to consume it. But even now, you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like ordinary people? He's not challenging whether they know Jesus or not. He's pointing out that their stuckness at this infant stage of spiritual development is a gigantic problem. In Hebrews 5, verses 11 through 13, the author says, concerning him, we have much to say, and it is difficult to explain since you have become poor listeners. For though by this time you ought to be teachers. So apparently his audience is people that have been Christians long enough to have advanced to the point where they might teach others. He says, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the actual words of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. So that same theme, there's things that they can't handle because they have not matured spiritually the way that they need to. Goes on to say, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unacquainted with the word of righteousness, for he or she is an infant. Not a problem to be a spiritual baby when you're a baby. Heard just this last week that someone came to Christ this week, or maybe it was last week. Anyway, it was recently. You know, praise God. That is awesome. And that person is a spiritual baby. When you have been supposedly walking with Jesus for years, you are not a baby. At least you're not supposed to be. And it is a problem. You know, I've only been around the church for like 20 years. You know, I still don't know that much. It's like, what are you talking about? You've been around 20 years. You've been around long enough to lead in this church. In fact, you don't have to have been around 20 years to reach that stage. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But the problem here is not infancy. The problem is staying a spiritual infant and not growing up. It's a problem in the physical. It's a problem in the spiritual. We all go through stages of spiritual development. That is not a problem. That's normal. The problem is that we don't mature. And then the third thing here is that we should purpose to grow and to keep growing until we become spiritual mothers and fathers. Now, who are those people? I keep using that terminology, spiritual mothers and fathers. Who are they? I think intuitively, you might be able to identify some of them in our fellowship. They are the people who look after the needs of other people. They keep an eye on them. It's not just that they meet those needs. They help those people to grow up so that they can be fully functioning spiritual adults. In much the same way that good parents, I'm not saying every parent does this, but good parents, they don't just run around meeting all their children's needs. They train their children to be able to feed themselves, to be able to clothe themselves, to be able to work and make a living, all these kinds of things. That is the job of parents, and the job of spiritual mothers and fathers is that they look after other people to help them to grow up, to help them to become the people that God intends for them to be. I referenced earlier a handout that you should have gotten when you came in. I printed out a copy for myself. And if you have this, you might want to follow along. I'm not going to read it, but it will kind of say the same things, or many of the same things, that I also am trying to say. The content of this handout comes from the work of a pastor in Idaho, a guy named Jim Putman. I think he and his church have done a lot of good work on helping people to grow up spiritually. I greatly appreciate that. I do want to acknowledge that breaking spiritual development into five stages is helpful, but it's simplistic, right? Like you may see yourself or people around you in, it seems like, multiple stages. And that's okay. You're mostly just trying to mostly locate yourself in one of these stages. I think in the physical or in the natural, don't we also have that same phenomenon? People who are extremely developed in some aspects of their life and woefully underdeveloped in other aspects. For a long time, I've felt like I have a well-developed intellect, a reasonably high IQ, not always a super high EQ, not always great emotional intelligence to know how to relate to people. And that's not an excuse. I can't punt to that and say, well, I'm just, you know, not that great at that. It's like, I have to grow up in that emotional area of my life. And if there are parts of your spiritual life that aren't well developed, it's time to go back and revisit some of those with God's help. Something that you'll notice is that in each of these stages, we need different things to help us to grow. And so that's part of the reason why it can be helpful to have an idea of where I am mostly, so that I can have an idea of what might help me to continue to mature. Likewise, when I'm looking at the lives of people in my life group, when I'm connecting with my friends, it's helpful to have a grid so that I can anticipate what somebody's needs might be. So this five-stage thing, I do think there's a scriptural basis for it. I am not saying that it is the only way to describe spiritual development from scripture. It's just a simple way that I think can be helpful to you and to me. So let's take a look here. The first stage there on your handout. Oh, and by the way, the content of the handout comes from Jim Putman. The actual wording of a lot of it came from a blog article. You can see it there at the end. The guy's name is Jeff Stott, and then I edited pieces of it. If you want to see the original, you can click on that link, and it will take you to the original. Stage one, the seeker stage. This person doesn't know Jesus yet, and so they are characterized, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, by being dead in their transgressions and sins. So what we mean by death is that we are separated from God, and this person doesn't know God. And so they are not fully alive to Him, because we're not fully alive to God until we're connected to Him. He is the source of life. This person is walking, it says in Ephesians 2, according to the course of this world. The world has a track that everybody is kind of on. And if you don't do anything, that's the track you're going to be on. You're going to believe the things that the world believes. You're going to live for the things that the world is living for. And you're going to go in the worldly direction. And that is typically what this person is doing. A third characteristic is that they are living in the lusts of their flesh and indulging desires of the flesh and of the mind. This is just a fancy way of saying they do what they want to do. They want something, they go for it. And, you know, if it feels good, do it. If it seems natural, go for that. You know, you might see this in a person's marriage. You know, we get married, we make these promises to be faithful and to love this one person, and then someone else comes along and they think, ooh, I kind of like that person and it feels right and I kind of want that, and they go for it. Putman does a thing he calls the phrase from the stage. What he means by this is you can recognize, or at least you find indicators, evidence, of somebody's spiritual stage by the kinds of things that they say. And so the phrase from this stage is, I don't believe there's a God, and the Bible's just a bunch of myths, God is a crutch, maybe something like there are many ways to God. You know, it could be anything like that. It would be an indicator that a person hasn't yet met Jesus in a relational, connected way. What this person needs, or what a person needs in this stage of their spiritual development, and frankly, all of us have been in this stage at some point, we all came into the world not knowing Jesus, and someone introduced us. So it's not like those of us who've met Jesus as somehow we're superior. It's absolutely not true. We all started off in this place, separate from God. But that this person needs an explanation of the gospel. They need to know who Jesus is and what he's offering and how they can become connected to him. They need answers to their questions about God and the Bible, and they need to see a believable picture of what it looks like to believe in Jesus. That's incumbent upon those of us who call ourselves his followers. People need more than words. They need to see an example that is believable of what that could look like, of what it could mean to follow Jesus and how it changes a person's life. And lastly, they need an invitation. They need someone to say, would you like to? Would you like to give your life to Jesus? I can help. I can kind of midwife here while you're getting born. All right, so that's stage one. The seeker, the person who is not yet alive to God, but hopefully looking. Not everybody is looking. I think seeker is kind of a funny term for this first stage, because frankly, not everybody out there is seeking. So if you are seeking, that's a good thing. It means that God is already at work in your life. Second stage is the believer stage. This is the spiritual infant. This person is characterized by ignorance. Much like a baby who's born and doesn't know anything, can't do anything, this person doesn't know very much of the Bible or biblical truth. They're sometimes confused, like they don't know how to replace familiar habits, things that they've been doing for years maybe, with the habits and attitudes of a disciple, of a follower of Jesus. The phrase from this stage is, I don't need anyone else. It's just me and Jesus. If I pray and read my Bible, will I be good enough? I didn't know the Bible said that. I know that Jesus is Lord and Savior, but is karma real? These kinds of statements. So obviously, these are not the only statements. It's just to give you an idea of the way that a spiritual infant talks. They don't know a lot of things. So what do they need? Well, they need care and protection in a very vulnerable stage of discipleship. Just like a baby is vulnerable and needs someone to care for him or her, to protect them, to love them and feed them and clean them up when they need that. This person needs care and protection. They need teaching and modeling of the truths of the Christian life. They need help developing new habits that will become the rhythms that they'll live as disciples. And in that process, it helps to have the attention of a spiritual mother or father, of a disciple maker, of somebody who's been there before, who can help them to walk through. What do I do when I didn't mean to sin, but now I've done this thing and I think it's wrong, but I don't know how to recover from that? Is it over for me? Is there still a chance? They need someone that can walk alongside whenever possible. I say whenever possible because not everybody has that. When I became a Christian, I didn't have a person like that. I went to the used bookstore and I bought up all the Christian books that looked helpful. And I read through them and I tried to get discipled through books. And that kind of works, but it's really helpful to have a person who can like keep you from doing dumb things, which I did many of. It would have saved me tons of trouble. This person ideally would have someone or someones in their life who helped them to walk. Could be people in their life group. All right, so that was stage two, the believer. Stage three, Putman calls the learner. This is the spiritual child. You know, a child can do things. A child can get up in the morning by themselves, dress themselves, feed themselves, sort of. They need a little bit of help, but they, you know, if you put the food in front of them, they can kind of put it to their mouths and chew it and all these different things. And so a person that is a spiritual child can also do some things. They know some things now. They may know lots of things, maybe random things. It may not be all solidified for them, but they are very much alive and things are happening. Characteristics of this person. Often the spiritual child is an idealist. They think that it's just wonderful how they're connected to all the other Christians and how Christians just love each other no matter what, and they're generous with each other, and church is just a place where it's just a big family where people care for each other, and isn't it wonderful? And the church is supposed to be all those things, and Christians are supposed to be all those things, but anybody that's a little further along in the spiritual journey knows that that's a little idealistic. Christians, followers of Jesus, are people that struggle to overcome sin. They still, if they're not careful, they can get pulled down by the gravity of the world. Other characteristics, a spiritual child is often self-centered. They don't mean to be. It's just part of the stage. They're very much concerned about themselves and about what works for them. And they can struggle with overconfidence. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so there's nothing, like I can dunk a basketball now because of Jesus. And it's like, eh. Or they could struggle with underconfidence. I'm just not quite sure yet if they've been a Christian long enough. I didn't get baptized after I became a Christian for a year and a half, because I wanted to make sure that I was ready. Now, if I'd been reading the Bible, I'd have known that you can be ready the day that you commit your life to Jesus. And we see that in the book of Acts. Somebody actually does that. But to me, it felt like I've seen people give their lives to Jesus and then take it back. And I don't want to be one of those people. So I waited 18 months just to make sure, you know, that it's really taking. Phrase from the stage. I love my life group. Don't add any more people to it. It's perfect. I don't have anyone who's spending enough time with me. Like, no one's discipling me. How am I supposed to grow? I didn't like the worship today. You know, they should be more like Hillsong or Elevation or Maverick City, because that's what I like. I'm thinking of looking for a church that meets my needs better. I mean, I like this church, but it's not really meeting my needs. So you can hear in those comments that kind of self-centeredness. There's a concern about how everything affects me. And if it doesn't affect me, then maybe something's off. Or, you know, if it doesn't suit me, maybe something's off. These people, person who's a spiritual child, needs help with learning to feed themselves spiritually. The goal is not that you would come and get fed on Sunday mornings at this church for the rest of your Christian life. The goal is that you would learn to be a self-feeder. Just like children have to grow up to the point where they can eat and maybe even prepare food so they can eat it, we also have to become self-feeders. A spiritual child needs a relational connection to a church family to understand that the Christian life is a team sport. It's something that we do together with other people. It is not just me and Jesus. They need teaching about how to have healthy relationships with other believers. And they need teaching about appropriate expectations of other believers, to know that other believers will hurt them, to know that other believers will have to ask for forgiveness, and they will have to extend forgiveness because they, other Christians or people in this church, they will not always treat you right. And Christians do not get everything right. Hopefully, they can at least own where it's going wrong and try to make good on it. But, you know, that spiritual child needs to learn not to idealize. I remember as a young Christian going to conferences. These were not Christian conferences, but I would meet Christians there and I would think, oh, it's just so awesome because there's this mystical connection. We're just all brothers and sisters in the Lord. And there's some truth to that. That is true. It is also true that those people don't know me and I don't know them. And those people still have problems, even though they're followers of Jesus, and I still have problems. And I'm liable to have a blind spot and cause a problem somewhere and have to go back and confess it and ask for forgiveness. So again, they need to learn not to idealize. Stage four, this person is the server. It's the spiritual young adult. Young adults are very capable. They can do almost everything that mature adults can do. And so they have a lot of capability. They are characterized by serving others with joy, by a kind of genuine humility, by keeping an eye out for other people and beginning to sacrifice for them. Phrase from this stage of spiritual young adulthood is, I love my group, but there are other people who need a group like this. So maybe I could be a part of starting a new group. So-and-so missed life group, so I called to see if they were okay. Their kids are sick, so maybe we can make meals and deliver them. I noticed we don't have a ministry to youth. Do you think I could be involved in something like that? The spiritual young adult needs a place to learn, to serve, and grow. It helps if they have a spiritual parent who can help debrief ministry experiences with them, because inevitably, things will not go as planned. Some things will actually go wrong. And it's just helpful to have someone that can steady them in the midst of that. You know, I think I really want to help lead a life group, so I try it and it goes horribly. Nobody will talk, or it just seems like a disaster. And I think, oh my goodness, I am never doing this again. Like, obviously, I don't have the gift for this. A spiritual parent will have a little perspective to say, okay, you know, this is your first time ever doing this. First time you ever do anything, was it good? By and large, the first time we do things is kind of so-so. First time I rode a bike, disaster. First time I played guitar, you wouldn't want to hear it. It takes time to learn these things, and a spiritual parent can help provide some of that perspective. The spiritual young adult needs ongoing relationships of encouragement and accountability. They need help establishing boundaries. Again, that, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and they just think that means I don't have to sleep, I don't have to like have time off, I can just go. They need help pulling it back, living as a creature, understanding that God is God, and that's good. You don't have to be God. They need guidance regarding the appropriate expectations of the people that they will serve. They need to remember that not everybody that you share with is going to respond well. And that doesn't mean that they're evil. It doesn't mean that their spiritual life is going to go nowhere, but it does. You know, they need to learn how to think about those things, and they need skills training. They need to learn how to lead a Bible discussion. They need to learn how to, you know, do various aspects of ministry. The fifth stage is what they call the leader. I don't like that terminology, actually, and I'll tell you why in a minute. This is the spiritual parent. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 11, it says, Paul says, "You know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each of you as a father would his own children." 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "The things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful people who will be able to teach others also." That's what a spiritual mother or father is. A person who has that vision in mind, that the goal is not just that I would be saved and super knowledgeable, but that I would pass it on to people who can pass it on to people who can pass it on. They see beyond themselves to future generations, and they are engaged in trying to see something happen there. One of the attractive things about coming to be the pastor of this church was the hope that I would get to invest in the next generation of Christian leaders. I have to say, I haven't done that as well as I would like, but I want to redouble my effort on that front because I'm old. I'm not going to be here forever. And the things that God has entrusted to me, I want to entrust to others who will carry the baton. So if that's you, we should get together. We should talk because I think it's really important. A spiritual mother or father is a self-feeder. These are people who do not need the sermon on Sunday to pump them up every week because they are being pumped up every day in the time that they spend with God. Now, of course, it's always better if you have a good sermon. Amen? All right. But, yeah, I just hate to waste half an hour of your time. But you shouldn't be depending on that any more than when Laura and Chris plan a potluck after church, that like you think of that as your meal for the week. I mean, I hope it's a great meal. I'm looking forward to the 29th. I think it's going to be really good. But come on. I need to eat every day if I want to be strong, if I want to be sharp, if I want to be the person that God means for me to be, apart from those times when we're fasting. But I need to have the capability of feeding myself and not be dependent on, well, gee, my life group wasn't that great this week. I guess I'm just going to starve. Spiritual mothers and fathers are people who value being a part of the team at church. They understand that disciple making is not something that just happens one-on-one. It's something that happens in a constellation of relationships. I don't have everything to give to any of you, a new believer or otherwise, and neither do you. But together, we can give what is needed for people to grow and to be the people that they're meant to be in Jesus. Spiritual mothers and fathers are disciple makers. They're people who reproduce disciples, and they have the goal of the people that they're investing in others. The phrase from the stage could be a bunch of things. This guy at work asked me to explain the Bible to me, to him. Pray for me. Our life group is serving in the community this week, and I've given each person a different responsibility. So-and-so recently became a Christian. Do we have some materials that I could use to help her get established? I have a person in my life group who is passionate about children. You know, can you put Kieran and Maureen in touch with me, or should I call them? This person has needs as well. They need ongoing relationships with other disciple makers for accountability and encouragement. They need a church family because they are discipling people as part of a team. Well, we're at the end of this time for this morning, but there are a few questions there on your handout that I hope that you will take some time to reflect on. this morning and maybe throughout the week, in what stage do you see yourself? I'm not asking how long you've been coming to church. I'm asking, in those descriptions, what describes you? You know, are you a spiritual young adult, ready to serve, or maybe already serving, maybe not quite yet investing in future generations? Are you a spiritual child? You love church and you love the people in this church, but it still is mostly about yourself and God. And part of the goal is to kind of grow in knowledge and in wisdom beyond that, to be able to see others. Second question, what do you need in order to grow to the next stage? From those descriptions, what would help you to make your steps toward being a spiritual mother, or spiritual father? That's going to look different on different people because we have different gifts and everything else. But what's not different is the orientation, that we are oriented to the good of others and to helping them to become all that God intends for them to be. Third question, what is hindering your growth right now? Is it something that you can just simply renounce and say, I'm not going to do that anymore? Is it something that you need help with? And if it's the latter, that fourth question, how can this church help you move through the stages? And how can we help each other to do that? Let's take some time to pray, and then we'll return it to the worship team. Father, thank you for your love for us. Pour out your Spirit on us, Lord, that we would grow in wisdom and in faith and in hope and in love, to not get stuck along the way, but to mature into the people that you mean for us to be, mothers and fathers of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.